Good evening, everyone. Welcome to High Point Church, to our Wednesday night service. I want to particularly welcome those who are members of my family, the body of Christ here at High Point, and tell you how much we've missed seeing your faces. But we're so glad that we can continue to share God's Word and be built up in Him through the medium that we've been given tonight. I also want to welcome anyone who's viewing online who may not be familiar with High Point or who are not members here. We trust that you'll be blessed in what you hear tonight. Since we're doing this on Facebook, I also want to encourage you to feel free to comment or like as we go through this. We'll be monitoring this and be able to respond to some of your comments or questions that you may have. And I want to urge you also, if you're led, share it. Participate in an act of evangelism to promote what we're doing, not only for this session, but for others that you watch at High Point. We're in the fourth of a series on praying His will for my life. And what I want to do first tonight is review what we looked at last week very briefly in Ephesians 1 and then make a new point that I didn't get to last week. So in Ephesians 1 prayer last week, even leading up to the prayer, we saw that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And that's for now. It's not just stored up for us in heaven. We've also been placed and accepted as a beloved son of our Father. Never to be rejected, because He won't be rejected. And we saw that He's already lavished upon us His grace. And it included a down payment or earnest money that really I view as a full payment, His Holy Spirit, the fullness of all Him. And He continues to do that to us today. And then in the prayer, He prayed that the Lord would give us a spirit. Now, it's not talking about the Holy Spirit. It's talking about an attitude. And we talked about it as a passion for Him, for revelation and for understanding, so that we have wisdom in His Word. And how does that come to us? In the knowledge of Jesus. We also saw that Paul prayed that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened so that we would know three different things. The first is, what is the hope of His calling? The second is the riches of His glory in Jesus' inheritance, which is us, the saints. And finally, what the exceeding greatness of His power is in us and for us. And that's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead and seated Him at the right hand of the Father. And then He continues praying and tells us that we have been set in the body of Christ, in His body, at your right hand, at the Father's right hand, in Him. Now, I want to talk just a minute about this. In my union with Him, I and Him and He and me, I want you to think about how we're positioned. Go to the book of John, the 10th chapter, and we're going to look at two verses, 37 and 38. Jesus says in verse 37, "If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me." And then 38, "But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works." And here's the part I really wanted to focus on. "That you may know and understand that the Father is in me and that I am in the Father." He's saying the Father is in Him and He is in the Father. So when we look at Philippians 2 verse 5, which says, "Have this attitude in yourself that was also in Christ Jesus," we need to understand what I'm about to share with you. I really like the Message Bible's translation of that, or transliteration actually. It says, "Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of Himself." So how did He just disclose to us that He thought of Himself? "The Father is in me, and I am in the Father." The Father is in me, and I am in the Father. He is saying that we've been positioned in Him exactly as He was to the Father, with the Father, when He was on this earth, fulfilling His calling. And what that says to me is we've been given everything that we need to fulfill the calling that He's placed upon each one of our lives. We may not feel like it, and that really pertains to what the prayer is involved with tonight that we're going to be looking in Ephesians 3. Let me mention to you, we're not going to look at the scripture, but in chapter 17 of the book of John, beginning at verse 20 and going to about 23, I want you to see and read sometime for yourself that Jesus actually prayed that prayer for you and I, that we would know that we are in Him and that He is in us. So we have everything we need to go. It's like we could go to our commander and said, reporting for duty, sir. We have everything we need to go and do what He's called us to do. And that's a good jumping off part to go to tonight's portion of the study, which we're going to be talking in Ephesians 3 about the fullness or being in the fullness of God. Now, just as we've seen before, there are several verses that I want to look at in Ephesians 3 that are prior to the prayer, because they're key to what the prayer is requesting, what Paul is requesting in his prayer for us. So we're going to start and read, skip through several verses, starting with verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Two things that jump out at you when you read this verse. What Paul is doing, he's doing for you and I, for us who were Gentiles. But look at how Paul describes himself. He describes himself as the prisoner of Christ Jesus. And what he's saying here to us in this is that he sees himself, despite the fact that he's in the worst prison you could ever be in, he sees himself as the prisoner of Christ Jesus versus as a prisoner of the Romans. And this really encapsulates everything that he's going to be saying to us tonight. Now jump down to verse 6. In the verses in between, he's talking about there are some things that had not been revealed. And in verse 6, he says, to be specific, that the Gentiles, you and I, are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So this is important to us because it's telling us who are not of Jewish heritage that we too have been included in the promises and that we are partakers of all that those promises grant us. Then look down at verse 10. He's making this point to us so that we know that this is the charge that I believe we've been given here on the earth. In order that the manifold wisdom, the multicolored manifold actually means, so a broad spectrum of wisdom of God, might now be made known, and look at this phrase, through the church. So it's through you and I that not only the world sees, but the evil, the darkness in this world, those powers that are in this world, they're also going to see what? The manifold wisdom of God, how we are to live victoriously in this life, in this body. We're going to be exposing that to them. In other words, we're going to be doing everything Jesus did and enforcing His victory while we're occupying till He comes back. Look down at verse 11. This is in accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ Jesus. And then it says this, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in Him. So we're going to see here the first of many in Him realities, things that we have being in Him. Access here means admission. And it reminds me of the scripture in Hebrews where we can come boldly to that throne and take mercy and receive grace to help in time of need. So the question that I ask of you tonight and think about yourself is, are we acting in that boldness? It really means frank speech. Are we being open to the Lord? Are we confident, which is the next phrase, to go in? Do we have the trust to go into Him and just interact with Him face to face? That's His desire. And you're going to see that tonight. And then in verse 13, Paul asks that we not lose heart at my tribulations, the pressures he's going through, on your behalf. And he tells us, for there for His glory. So if Paul is telling us this, what does he want us to understand about it? I believe he's saying to us, we're going to go through some similar things. We're going to have those pressures come against us. They're going to try to conform us to the world's way versus the Lord's way. But we, like Paul, can see ourselves as prisoners of Christ Jesus, not as the people who are being persecuted in this world. And that will give us overcoming ability so that we can accomplish what we saw in verse 10. We can disclose the manifold wisdom of God, not only to people, but to all the powers that be in this earth. So with that, let's go into verse 14. And I'm going to read in its entirety, 14 through the last verse, the prayer that Paul prayed for us. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So let's go back to verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees. For this reason, a lot of scholars say it's because of what was said in verse 13. But I believe, I think it has some merit, but I really believe that what we read in verse 10, so that we see who we are in Him, He wants us to have that so clearly revealed in our being so that we can go and do the charge that I believe the church has been given. Disclose to the world the manifold wisdom and all that that wisdom brings to you and I. He also says, I bow my knees. And I want to comment on this because we've been talking in these sessions about how Paul starts giving thanksgiving. And even though he doesn't use words here, he says, I bow my knees. So what is he doing? He's entering into a position of worship, an attitude of worship, even though the words that he's praying are not necessarily just those words of thanksgiving or magnifying the Father. So even in this prayer, he's doing the same thing that he's told us. And then, in verse 16, he begins to say, verse 15, from whom the whole family, or every family, in heaven and earth derives its name. And saints, this is a big deal to you and I. Who was the first to be given His name, the name of the Lord? Yod-Heh-Vod-Heh, I believe. Well, Jesus was. It talks about that in Philippians 2, 9 and 10. And we won't look at it, but what do we know? He was the firstborn. And so we, as those believers who've been born again since that time, we also share and have been given to us the family name. And with that comes all the benefits and all the responsibilities. And again, to me, that says I must be about my Father's business, just like Jesus said. But I want you to see something else that came with it. When we're born of natural parents, their DNA is passed on to us. So we really are in a position to display or exhibit a lot of the same characteristics that they do that are just passed down to us. And I want you to know, because we've been born again into His family and we've received this family name, that we too have been given the very DNA, if I can use that expression, of God in our spirits. We can act on those. In fact, they can be such change agents in us that His nature really is displayed through us. So to that end, what are some of the characteristics that we might be displaying? Well, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit. Are you and I exhibiting those nine fruit? Do people see my family heritage in me as I exhibit those fruit? And I personally believe those fruit are more of a sign of maturity than anything else I can do, that I can show or display to people. How about the redemptive names of the Lord, which we have a few of them on the walls here on some banners in the church? Jehovah Shalom, peace. We could go to Rapha and healing. Are we displaying His nature as exemplified through those names as we walk around, as we conduct ourselves in our lives here on this earth? Now let's look at verse 16. And we're just going to slow down a little bit and go through each of these verses in detail. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. So it starts off talking about a grant. What is a grant in today's world? Well, it's something that you can apply so that you can receive something from those who are funding the grant. So there's an application involved. Then that application has to be verified to make sure you're who you say you are. And then the paperwork says that you've been qualified, so they see you as fitting to receive it. And then above that, you have to be selected and put in the position to receive it. What I want you to see is we have already had those requirements fulfilled in our lives by what Jesus did. When we were accepted in the Beloved, in Him, we met the criteria to have this grant given to us. Now again, a grant means giving. And this word is in a prolonged sense, so it's continuing to give. It's that gift that keeps on giving. So, that He would grant, and then it says, according. The word according is the word kata. And it means it's in proportion to something. What is it in proportion to? It's not in proportion to anything that has to do with me in this flesh. It's all in proportion to, what does this say? To the riches of His glory. Now the word riches there can also mean the fullness. And that's a key word in what we're going to be talking about tonight, what we are talking about. So what it's saying then is He's going to grant to you and I according to the fullness of His glory. Now, what is His glory? To me, that's what makes God God. That's who He is. It's everything that He is. And that's what is available to you and I. Now, don't let your mind go tilt. There's another place coming that you may want to do that later on. But stay focused in what we're saying. All the glory of God is on the table in this grant that He is giving to us. And what are we looking for that grant to do? To strengthen us with power. So there's two of the four words we looked at last week, kratos and dunamis, for might and power, or strength and power. Kratos is power that is to be demonstrated. So He's demonstrating His power to us. How? Through His Spirit in our inner man. You'll notice as we go through these prayers with Paul that zero times, does he ever pray that the Lord will give us something that pertains directly to our flesh. It's always our inner man. Now when we talk about inner man, what are we talking about? Our spirit man. But not just our spirit man, our soulish realm as well, because those two are knit together as the Word tells us. But what I want you to see is that we must first receive this, just like the prayer last week, that the eyes of our heart, our spirit man, must receive this Word, and we must see it. We must have that aha moment where the Spirit reveals it to us so that we get the magnitude of what is being said in this verse. Strengthened with power according to all His fullness, first in my inner man. Now, without us grasping it or taking knowledge of it in our inner man, we're not going to be able to renew our mind. The only way our mind is renewed is when we're in the Word and we see the Word to such depth that our spirit, working with the Holy Spirit, renews our mind. And what is that doing? That's putting my spirit and my soul together. And with that, then I'm thinking the same way in this realm as my spirit is. That to me says, when I get to that point, I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to be wavering, shifted to and fro. Just like we happens when we get out in the waves, when we're back allowed to do that. And so this to me is believing with our whole heart. Feeding our spirit, but us receiving it fully in our spirit. And then and only then are we able to draw it up and have it impact this soulish realm that we have. Verse 17. Why is he doing it? What's he praying here? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Let's just stop there. You may react and say, well, wait a minute. I thought that when I was born again, Jesus came to dwell in my heart. He did. Well, then what is he talking about here? I think it's pertaining to the through faith part. This has to be so real to us that he is dwelling with us all the time, that we're not moved by any feelings where we feel like, oh my gosh, he's left. Now, a point on dwelling. Dwelling here literally means to take up residence, to stay. But I like what Rick Renner says about this. It also has a connotation of the person who is dwelling being comfortable where he's staying. And so I want to ask you, and it's a question I've had to ask myself. Am I making Jesus comfortable in my life? Well, how do we know? Well, if I were to come visit you, and whether I stayed for a night or for a longer period, what would you do to make me feel comfortable? I guarantee you, your attention would be turned to me if you really wanted me to be comfortable. And you would be talking to me, you would be nice to me, you'd be suggesting things we could do, maybe feeding me some things that you knew I liked. You would be paying attention to, you would be nurturing that relationship between you and I. This is what we also need to see, that we need to be doing with Jesus, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts comfortably by faith. And then the next phrase. No, let's back up. I'm going too fast. By faith is so important because we can never trust feelings. Your feelings can change. And when you operate in faith and worship the Lord, feelings of being down in the dumps will just disappear. They will go away because your feelings will follow your faith. But I can assure you, if you're led by feelings, you will never develop enduring faith from those feelings. It's just going to drag you down deeper and deeper to where we don't want to go. Now to the phrase that I like. Being rooted and grounded in love. And who is he talking about here? You. Me. Rooted here literally means a root. But figuratively, it implies stable. It implies to be rendered firm. It implies thoroughly grounded. We may say deeply grounded. The roots go deep. Grounded here in this verse means to have a basis for. But what it's talking about is being able to lay a foundation for. To put in place a solid foundation that what? That we can depend on. So what it's literally saying is that we may be settled. We've packed the dirt in. We're not going to have any more sinking sand. We're solid. We're built on that foundation that Jesus talked about when he talked about building one on the rock versus the sand. We are founded in his love, settled, deeply founded, or we might say firmly established. So that's the posture that we're talking about here, that we know we're always loved, versus being in fear, no one's supposed to be loved by God. And let me just talk about that for a moment. Too often, too many of us focus all of our attention on getting rid of fear, when I believe if we'll focus on being rooted and grounded in His love through the law of displacement, that fear will be displaced. Can you think back to times when we've had in the world oil spills and the oil was released deep below the earth, below the sea, on the floor of the ocean? Where did that oil, what happened to that oil? Well, it came up. And that's because water is denser than oil, which means the water will support it on top. Now, we see that, and I think it's a good illustration to use. When you go to your refrigerator, there are some salad dressings and other things that you may need to shake up. Why? Because the oil has settled on the top, because it is not as dense as the other material. Now, for those of you who are wondering, well, why is that the case? It's because the molecule structure of oil is so big that there's gaps in it of which that water can penetrate and thus lift it up. So if I had oil or some other material in a glass or a container and I wanted to get rid of it all, what would be the best way to do it? Just dump it out? No, because it's going to leave residual amounts of oil. The best way to get rid of it is to fill it up with water, which is a more dense material. And I liken the water to His love and the oil to fear. If I've got fear down deep in me, then I don't want to just focus on trying to get rid of fear, because what you focus on, you become, you give place to. And if you give place to it long, that's what's going to behold its power over you. So when we begin to pour love down in this glass, in this container, my container that's been filled with fear, what is going to happen to that fear? It's going to rise up. It's going to rise up. It's going to rise up. And as we pour more water, the oil is just going to be overflowed and out. Excuse me. The fear is just going to be overflowed and out as the love, the very essence of God. Nothing more dense than that. Scripture tells us that God is love. He doesn't have love. That's who He is. That is the foundation. That is the laying, that being grounded in Him. Now, I want to give you a picture to leave with of what this person looks like. So go to Psalm 1, and I want to read verses 2 and 3 with you. But His delight, talking about us, is in the law of the Lord. And in His law, He meditates day and night. And then verse 3. And this is you when you're founded deeply in His love, roots going deep. He will be like a tree firmly planted. Let me stop there. When that word for plant there literally means a tree that has been transplanted. And so we've been taken out of that kingdom of darkness and planted here deeply in His love. And look what it'll produce. By streams of water. And this tree will yield its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever He does, it prospers. So that says to me, all of this is a resulting of us being grounded, firmly planted in His love. Look also with me at Psalm 92. I like this one the older I get, and you'll see why in just a second. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. That's you and I now. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. So think about that. Planted in the house of the Lord. Planted in all that God is. Love. That's where we are planted. And look at what happens. They will flourish all good taking place. They will flourish in the courts of our God. And finally, they will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green. Now, we laugh at the old age part, but I want to tell you, this very green part is equally as important. You cannot burn green wood. And that tells me there is no way Satan is going to trick me and burn me while I'm walking in this earth if I'm founded in His love. No way whatsoever. Where was Jesus founded? Well, two verses that give us a clue for that. John 3:35 says, "For the Father loves the Son," and it goes on to say, "He gives all things to His hand." John 5:20 says, "For the Father loveth the Son, and He shows all the works He's doing." So we think about Jesus, always showing compassion, always displaying the love of the Father to other people. How could He do it? Because He was so deeply founded in that love. That was His foundation that supported everything that He did. And let me tell you, a good way to know if the Father's love is filling you up and how rooted and grounded you are is by how you love other people. Because that is a direct indication, I believe, of being full to overflowing with the Father's love. So what are we saying? Jesus had not just a mindset of it. He experienced the Father's love. And that is this intimate knowing that He wants us to have today. If we look now at verse 18, that thought is going to continue. Verse 18 says that we may be able to comprehend. So let me stop. Comprehend to me means I think about it. So it has a connotation to me of something that is going on in my soulish realm. But that's not what the word means. The word in the Greek, for those of you who like such things, is kata lambano. Kata means over, and lambano is the word which can be described as receive or to take. So what is this word saying? That He is desiring that we are able to eagerly take, to eagerly grasp, to possess as our own. What are we to possess? Who are we to possess it with? With all the saints. So don't you look to your pastors or to teachers or anyone else and say, "I'll let them be able to grasp it and they can explain it to me." He's intending this prayer for you so that you need to see yourself in exactly the same manner that you put your preacher or those that you hold in high esteem. And look what He's asking us to comprehend. The length, the breadth and the length, the height and the depth. Four dimensions. Now, we can all navigate in one dimension fairly easily. Most of us can walk a straight line, except when we're full of the Holy Ghost and we act like a drunk person and we veer off that line. But most of us also can navigate two dimensions. That's what you do when you drive a car. And if you don't think you can navigate two dimensions, I don't want to be on the road when you're driving that car. Three dimensions. Not only turning right and left, but doing it in space. You wouldn't want me to be flying the airplane that is trying to take you somewhere because I'm not proficient in those three dimensions. And yet He offers us a fourth dimension, a dimension beyond anything that we know. Just think about this. Too many of us live in a single dimension. And when we do that, we're bound and are not able to receive His love. Because I believe being bound in a single dimension means we're focused solely on what I'm doing and how I'm earning His love to be given to me. And that's not what it's all about. I want to share very quickly an experience I had several years ago that just lit this up for me. It allowed me to grasp it more clearly than I ever have. We had a gentleman in our church who had been struggling with some health issues for a while, and he was bound to a wheelchair, and I got a call on a Saturday afternoon that he was about to pass away. And so I went to the hospital at the request I had because others were unable to. And I'm so grateful for what I was able to be there with. I walked into this room and there's his wife and his family and there's joy there. So we began to talk about how did you get to this position of joy? And they shared an experience that happened just prior to my getting there because at this point he was unconscious. They said, all of a sudden he began saying, look, I'm free. In other words, he was walking and running. I don't know what all he was doing, but I'm free. And he kept saying, it's a fourth dimension. And then he was asking his wife, can't you see it? Can't you see it? Now his heart's still beating. He's still alive. And so I just think about what is that fourth dimension? I don't know whether it's faith and we get to that point where we see him and our faith is perfected, or it's love. And those two tie together because faith works by love. So whether that fourth dimension is love, and he got a glimpse of it, and what was the result? He saw himself set free of everything. In other words, that container we were talking about with fear, you could put in there sickness, disabilities, lack. You pour in the love, and all those things are going to come out the top. So that's what I think about, that these four dimensions, he doesn't want just to be a concept for us. He wants us to be able to experience that love in that order of magnitude. And that's exactly what he says in verse 19. So let me read 18 and we'll go into 19. That we may be able to comprehend with all the saints, every one of us, the breadth and length and height and depth. And to know. That word know is not a head knowledge. It's the word gnosis, which is that intimate knowledge, that knowledge that describes experiential knowledge. So it's knowing in that manner, something we experience. He wants us to know, to experience the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. Well, how can that be? How can I know something that is not knowable? By faith. Not know it in your head first, but he's asking that we have it revealed in our spirit as he's strengthening our inner man with what he's teaching us in this teaching. So it surpasses knowledge, yet we can grasp it. We can hold it and possess it. And then the last phrase, that you may be filled up to the fullness of God. It's like I just hear tilts going on. And I go back to some of my youth when I would play pinball machines sometime and I'd shake that thing too hard and it would tilt and it would just stop and be frozen. Don't be that way. Paul is praying for you a Holy Spirit-inspired prayer that is telling you, you can know and you can be filled up with all the fullness of God. All that fullness. Look back, or remember back, and I'll turn back to it. In verse 16, where it was talking about he was giving or granting us according to the riches of his glory, the fullness of his glory. We said the word riches meant everything he has. He's wanting to give it to you, just like he did with Jesus, so he could walk in this earth as a man with all the fullness of God in his spirit. He is our example in this. You are not going to comprehend this if you're constantly focusing on the faith or circumstances or whatever's going on around us. If you're looking more and feeding on the news about what's going on with COVID-19, then you are reading scriptures and being filled up with the knowledge of His love inside you and all that that love brings. Do you realize the fullness of God includes healing for anything you need to be healed of in this physical body? It includes provision so that during this time, none of us experience lack. This is what He's saying you can be full of. And I want you to think about this. When we are that full of it, then we can be just like Jesus. I can think about myself as Jesus thought about himself. And then I can go about doing the work that He's called me to do, showing the manifold wisdom of God manifested in my body, in my being, throughout the world, and also demons, you look at it. You have no authority over us. None whatsoever. And we saw that last week. We've been placed in His body far above all those elements of darkness and power that they think they can come against us. So I just want to read that one more time, that we may be able to comprehend. Now let's back up and read 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. We don't let our feelings dominate us. That we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, to grasp, to take as our own possession with all the saints what is the breadth, length, and height, and depth, and to know, to experience that love today. Not waiting till we get to heaven. Today. Which surpasses knowledge, that we might be filled up with all the fullness of God. So it's just that love that's just overflowing from us all the time. And that love that's flowing from us will do what? It'll make our faith more effective. Which is the first prayer we looked at in Philemon. That the communication or the sharing of our faith might become more effective by what? By acknowledging the fullness of God in me. Or as Philemon said, every good thing that is dwelling in me. And then we get to the last two verses. And in these two verses, Paul offers a praise to the Lord. So he started in a position of worship, and he's ending with praise. Now to Him who is able. Is able there is also the root word. It's dunamai, which is the root word for dunamis, which is power or miracles. Now to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond. Well, let's look at those words. Exceeding abundantly is comprised of three words in the Greek language. The first one means over. The second one means a point. And the third one means in super abundance. So what is he saying here? Exceedingly abundant is something that is over the point that you can ask or think. And it's not just over that point. It's so far beyond it that it's out of sight. But he doesn't stop there. He comes right back and says exceeding abundantly beyond. That word beyond is the same word as the first word we saw for over. So what he's saying here to you and I is that all I can ask or think, he is able to do over the point in superabundance and way beyond that. Now that's one of those that we tend to go tilt also to. But that is his heart towards you and I. That is his heart towards you and I, the same power working in us that raised Jesus from the dead, that has been deposited in us. That's the ability to believe Him so that that power works in us. And that's the last phrase of this verse. That power, that exceeding abundantly beyond all we ask or think, is contingent on the amount of what? His power that works within us. Now, most people like to quote that verse, and they never read that last part because it places some accountability on them. We're going to have to pursue these things if it's important to us. We're going to have to spend time with the Lord. We're not earning it. We're just getting revelation of what Jesus earned and has already been placed inside us. So he's praising the Lord here, saying, now to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to that power that works within us. Verse 21, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Do you see what he's saying here? To God, to the Father, be the glory in you and I, and in all of us that make up the church. The fullness of Him, according to the fullness of His glory, that all this has been deposited. So us, it's not just us by ourselves, though. Look at what it is. To Him be glory, be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ. And where is the church? In Him. He and me, and we are in Him, in the church. And then it says, to this be seen, be the glory, be recognized to all generations forever and ever. So let me ask you a question. Do you think this is implying that His glory, which will be seen over all the earth, the Word tells us, before Jesus returns, is a result of Him being glorified through that power that's working in you and I as we display the manifold wisdom of God in acts of love, works of faith, just as we saw that phrase used by Paul in some of the early prayers we studied? Is that how the world is going to see Jesus and see the Father glorified? Is that how His glory is going to cover the whole earth? I believe it might be. Saints, through the power of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us, as we know, as we experience His unfathomable love to us and to others, we're going to be in a position to demonstrate all of His goodness that He works in that power, exceeding abundantly beyond where you may ask or think. Unto Him be the glory in the church and in Jesus throughout the ages. Father, we thank You for Your Word tonight. We thank You that we have an understanding now of who we can be in You, in Your fullness. And Father, I've been praying as we started this session, before we started this session, that people would open their hearts up, that they would see what has already been placed in them in this revelation. Father, I thank You that You've trusted us to be the ones who complete Jesus as He sits in Your right hand, that He's allowed us to partake with Him, be a joint heir in everything that He's receiving. And I just thank You that we're able to continue what He started. In Jesus' name we pray, and we say amen. I want to bless you. My prayer for you is you not only walk in the fullness of God, but you're able, as you see that fullness of God working in you, you're able to walk in the fullness of His blessing every day. Now, we're going to be online again tomorrow morning. Pastor Robert's going to be doing Healing School. And then I urge you to tune in on Sunday as Pastor Trey continues talking about the battle plan that we're executing. We love you. I miss seeing you in purpose. But I'm thrilled that we can still share the Word of God with you. And you can share it with others as you share this video and the others that are being put forth by High Point Church. Again, we love you. Go in the fullness of the blessing.